great name. Amen. Well, this is our last Sunday before we celebrate Christmas. It's time, kind of our last time to celebrate Advent, which, as you know, is the coming of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who we believe came in the form of a baby who would later die on the cross for our sin and then ascend to heaven. And what we're really waiting for is for Jesus to return again. And I get the question all the time, like, do you really believe that? Yes, we do. We really believe that. And that is why we come here to celebrate. And so I encourage you, as you're celebrating Advent or as the families are coming together, that we would remember what our season is about and that we would be able to point forward to what is to come. So we are probably fully into the Christmas thing. You're probably busy. You've probably got lots on the go. You've already been to multiple parties, many events. You've spent all the money. There might still be more to spend if you're a husband who hasn't bought for your wife yet. That's a self-confession there. I'll just throw that out. I'm probably not the only man, I hope. But anyways, some of us are going to travel. Some of us will be hitting the road this week. And I trust that everyone will remain safe with that. And so this morning, I sense that sometimes by this point, we're pretty rushed. We're feeling a little hurried. We've got a lot of things happening. The family situations are probably clicking good or bad already. Whose house, what time, who will bring what? I don't want to bring that. I don't want to go, you know, and all the stuff that tends to come with Christmas sometimes. So here is what I want to do this morning. I want you to do something with me. You don't have to stand up. I'm not, you know, it's nothing like that. But I want to do a breathing exercise with you. And you're like, this is weird. Yeah, it's weird. So let's just do it together. So it's not just me doing it and you think I'm weird. This is going to be called what we call, and I found this. This is true and people do it all the time. It's what they call the 4-7-8 breathing technique. Okay, and we're going to all do this together. So humor me. You know, just do this for the sake of your pastor, not because you necessarily want to. But this breathing technique we're going to do is supposed to help reduce stress. It's supposed to take down the level of anxiety. It's supposed to help us sleep. You know, maybe some of us, that's what we need. And so it's also supposed to manage cravings, which we're going to need already, probably. You know, it's also good for reducing anger, which we probably also already need. And so, you know, all the good things that tend to come up at Christmas. I also heard it helps to listen to sermons better, but I added that in on my own. Here's what we're going to do. It's what they call the 4-7-8 technique. And again, this is legit. I'm not making this up. Here's how it goes. What you want to do is you got to empty your lungs of air, so just kind of that exhale. And then what you need to do is breathe in quietly through your nose for 4 seconds. Okay, so. And then hold your breath for 7. And then exhale forcefully for 8 seconds. Now, what I read is for this to be effective, you need to do it 4 times a day. Every day for the rest of your life so you can have peace. So that you can have a sense of calm. So that you can have a sense of peace if it's maybe only for a few moments. Because I think this is what many of us are now after at this time of year is that sense of peace. And so from what I read, if you just keep doing this technique over and over and over again every day for the rest of your life, you might have an ounce of peace, according to some of the reading I did this week. And so if you sit here today and you feel like you've got no peace in your life and you feel like something isn't right, the reality is you're obviously doing it wrong. According to the reading, right? You're not breathing right. That's the point. You're not doing the right technique. You're not doing the right trick. You're not behaving properly. And so for many of us, maybe the lack of peace in our life today is ultimately your fault because you're not doing it right. And this is what the world will tell you. This is what the world will teach us. This is what the world will show us. And what it'll give to you is this, is that peace is really only just a temporary thing. That true peace is something that you build and create all by yourself. That in order to have a sense of peace, you need to block out the world. And if we're all honest, right, peace has a tendency to come and go. We just don't know when. I always think it's kind of like the intermittent wipers on your vehicle, right? You turn on one and it goes slow or fast. That's how peace is. Sometimes it's slow, comes and goes. Other times it's really fast. Sometimes we feel like this sense of peace never comes to our life at all. And so what if I was to show you today a better way? What if I could offer you something different? Would you want to know what it is? I mean, what if we could have peace at all times? No matter what goes on, no matter what situation, no matter what's happening in our life. What if we could have a sense of peace deep down inside of us that does not require a breathing technique to find? What if peace is right in front of you? What if peace is right in front of your eyes today and you haven't seen it? What if peace was right in front of your eyes and you didn't even know it? I mean, would you want to know? I mean, if it's right in front of me, shouldn't it be obvious? Well, maybe, but not everything in life is obvious, is it? Sometimes when it comes to peace or love or joy or hope, as we've been talking about, we search for it everywhere, but sometimes it's just right in front of us. Well, if that's true, Pastor, then that's what I need today. I need that kind of peace. I need to experience that. I need that in my life more than ever. I need it in my family this season. I need a sense of peace, and not just at Christmas, but probably in other parts of my life. So what do I need to do? What steps do I need to take? How do I get a hold of this thing? And we're going to answer those questions, but before we jump into it, I need you to understand our condition. Where does this need for peace come from? Why do we have such a great need for peace in our life? Like, maybe who cares? Why do you need it? What does it do for you? Does it reduce anxiety? Does it reduce stress? Is it just peace for you? Is just no problems in life? If I was to ask you why you need peace, what would you say? Think about it for a moment. Why do you even need peace today? Is it to take away certain things in your life? Is it to calm you down? Maybe it's so you feel like you can breathe, because that pressure of life can feel like take the breath out of you, like there's a weight on your chest. Do you need peace just to maybe feel like things might be okay? Maybe it's I need this hope and joy in my life, and if I can have those things, then maybe I would have peace. Maybe that's how this is all interconnected. You see, over the last few weeks, we've been looking at Advent. And over the last couple weeks, we've seen things like hope and love and joy and today peace. And I believe that all of those are at the very core of what it means to be human. It is the one thing we all hold in common. We all need a sense of hope in life. We all need love. We all need joy. And we all need peace. And even today, it doesn't matter whether you believe in God or not. It doesn't even matter whether you like the church or not. I think we can all agree that those are things that we want. Those are things that we need in our life, regardless of even maybe our belief. That we desire hope, that we desire love, that we desire joy, and that we desire peace. And over the last couple weeks, we've talked about all the things that we're doing to try to attain them. How we try to grasp onto them and try we hold on to them. We looked at many ways of trying to capture hope and love and joy. And so far, we've even talked about how to capture peace, right? If we just breathe right, then I suppose we can capture it. It's all about techniques. It's all about doing certain things. And again, what I think we've seen over and over again as we've been looking at Advent is they don't hold up. They don't hold any air. I used an example of a balloon a couple weeks ago. You fill the balloon with hope, and eventually there's a hole poked in that hope, and it deflates. You could fill your life with love and everything looks good, but eventually there's a hole poked in that thing and it starts to deflate. The question is what happens when all of that begins to deflate? Last Sunday we even talked about how what happens when we look at joy, that often life can be like the black hole, and we talked about the old Disney show that is now on Disney Plus if you have it. Really old Disney show. But a lot of life can feel like the black hole, right? We've got love and hope and we're trying to grab it all and pull it in. And what happens is life is like a black hole and it's getting sucked into the emptiness, which is where many of us sit. That sense of that emptiness and like a black hole, and I looked up the definition by NASA, said a black hole gets so deep that there's no light in there anymore. And for some of us, we approach Christmas almost that way, that it's gotten dark. I don't have a lot of hope, I don't have love, I don't have joy, and I don't have a sense of peace, and if I'm honest, my life feels like this empty black hole where there is no light and it's only darkness. What I need you to see is as long as we try to pursue hope and love, joy and peace without God, it always ends up in a black hole. It will never hold air. There can never be enough hope from someone. You can never be loved enough by someone. There can never be enough true peace in our heart and in our life. And I think what happens for many of us is as we struggle with love and joy and hope and those things, we get frustrated and we'll just go and find it on our own, which means we kind of leave God behind and I'll go discover this for myself. I will find these things without God. I don't need no God to show me what it is. But what we often see in the lives of people over and over again is it's not working. We have family and we have friends and even ourselves where we lack hope, we lack joy, we lack love, and very much we lack peace. And then our life becomes marked by something else. It becomes marked by stress. It becomes marked by worry. It becomes marked by fear. And on the far end, it might be marked by depression. It might be marked by anxiety. And they're real and they exist. And here is what I would want to argue today, and it's this. I don't believe that we can find the true meaning of each of these things that the Advent candles represent without the God who created them. So our fundamental belief as the church is that God created all. Right? We believe that God created everything. God created you, God created me, God created humanity. And therefore, we need to look to the Creator for answers, not the creation. You understand the difference between that? We look to the Creator to the answers of things. We don't look to creation. Looking to creation is the things that God already created, which means we just look to other people. We look to other things. We look to other items to fill that hole instead of looking to the one who created all of this. You people, the answers are not in us. We are creation. The answers are in Him who is Creator. And if God is the creator of hope and of love and of joy and in peace, then we must look to Him for some of the answers. We must look to Him for all of the answers. Trying to find peace this morning without God leads to more fear and leads to more worry. And you might be successful in some areas of life. We're pretty resilient. We can figure some things out on our own, and we've probably pursued peace by ourselves, and we've had certain areas where we succeed, right? We've done the breathing exercises. Maybe it's worked. But what I find for a lot of us is we have one part of our life that we kind of fixed and might have peace, and then there's other parts of our life that are absolute disasters. And what I watch is this, as a pastor and counseling people for 20 years, is we will often take the balls of life, right? We have each ball, one ball's marriage, one is money, whatever, and we're just in the constant juggling game trying to keep it even. Trying to bring peace to every part of our life. And some of you, that's what is stealing your hope and your joy and your love and your peace, is life. You're trying to juggle all of it by yourself and you can't. You're dropping one ball at a time and you know that's not working. And I really believe that all of us in this room fall into that pattern at one time or another. And I don't think this even sometimes matters whether you're a Christian or not a Christian. Because I really believe that church people fall into the same pit as well. We try to do it on our own. We try to figure this out. We're trying to juggle the balls of life all on our own. I think one of my fears sometimes in the church, and especially for Christians, is I think that we've settled for something far less than what we're supposed to. We've been deceived into thinking that not having peace is normal. I know there will be Christians in this room where we're all like, well, that's somebody else's life. That's probably a better Christian than me. They've got it more put together. You don't know me, Pastor. I do. I do know you. Because that's the lie you tell yourself, that nobody knows you. You're no different than anybody else in this room. But as a Christian, I think we've fallen into that hole in some way on our own. That peace really isn't for me. That maybe it's normal for somebody else, but not for me. Because I find it interesting, we proclaim the God of the Bible, but for some strange reason, we feel like things like hope and love and joy and peace are for someone else. And here's how I know that some of us have accepted the lie. You know how I know that? Because you put it on Facebook. You do. The things that we say, the things that we post, the stuff we throw into the world. Not just this church, I've pastored many churches, I have lots of Facebook friends. Read it this week and see what people say. See if it indicates where their hope is, where their joy, their love, and where their peace. You can see it in the language that people use, and that's my concern, is some of us here today, even as Christians, I think have fallen into this idea of a defeatist approach, like somehow the cross isn't enough. Or maybe we've just accepted defeat in some parts of our life. But the truth is this, is that Scripture gives us a very, very, very different picture. And this morning I want to show you, maybe for some of you, for the first time, what peace with God looks like. And others of you will need a reminder of what peace with God looks like. Looks like. That God is on our side. He is our peace. He wants to be our peace. He wants to show us a kind of peace, people, that brings like an inner calm, if you will. I don't even have good words to describe it. It's almost like an equilibrium in life. In fact, there's a word that's used often in the Old Testament. It's called shalom. It's a Jewish word, and it means peace. But it's actually far deeper than that. When they use that word, it means a sense of completeness, a sense of wholeness. It means restoration, to restore things. It means to put things back into place, back into order. And some of us, that's what we're looking for at Christmas. Everything is very out of order. Our whole life is coming apart and unglued. And we need that peace with God to help put some things back into place, to put some sort of sense of order. And so let's read together. We're going to read from John chapter 14. It'll be up on the screen. We're going to read verses 25 to 27. So let's just read it together. We'll keep moving along. And these are Jesus' words as he's speaking to the disciples. "These things I have spoken to you while I am still with you. But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I have said to you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives, do I give to you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid." Let me give you just a quick sense of context going on here. Jesus is talking to his disciples about a great many things, but really ultimately what's going on is Jesus is beginning to prepare them for the fact that he is about to die and he's going to go to the cross. And so things where they are about to get a little hectic. Things are about to get tense. He's trying to prepare the disciples for the trials, the persecution, everything that is coming. And here is what I found so amazing about this as I was reading it this week. Here is Jesus about to go to the cross, to face his death, to do what he needs to do. And what is he doing? He is more concerned about the disciples than he is about himself. He is more worried about their peace. He is giving to them a peace of mind and a peace of heart in the midst of trials and persecution that are to come. He says to them, "Don't be afraid. I'm going to send someone to help you. He will come and he will bring you peace." People, peace with God transcends fear. People, the lack of peace often in our life stems from fear. And I think what happens is, instead of fear driving us towards God, it often drives us away from God. And you say, well, why is that? Because the Bible talks about this word sin. And one of the great elements of sin is fear. Sin in our life says, "God, I don't need you. I'll figure this out on my own." What's very interesting, at the very beginning of the Bible in the book of Genesis, we see that God created man, he created woman, humanity, and he would come and he would walk with them in the garden. There was a relationship there, love, respect. And then early, a little later in there, we see that sin came into the world, the fall in the garden occurred. Man and woman are walking in the garden, God comes to walk with them again, and what do? They run and hide out of fear. You see, the more we move away from God, the more we will move towards fear. The garden clearly depicts that for us. The more you and I move away from God, the more fear is going to take over. The more you and I move away from God, the more anxious we become, the more issues we struggle with. The more we move away from God, the less peace we will have. No breathing technique, 5 times a day, 7 days a week, is going to fix that. Am I moving towards God or am I moving away from God? You see, when Jesus was going to the cross, he wasn't just concerned about his disciples here in the book, he's also concerned about his disciples in this room. And that's you. Jesus' concern for you. He is offering you his peace. People, this is not some counterfeit peace either, not a temporary peace, but a peace that has power and that has strength. And so, Christians, let me remind you of a few things in case you forgot, because the text says that we will forget. If you remember, for the last few months, we've been working through the book of Ephesians. You know, a book in the New Testament. And there's a few things that we heard in there. We heard that we are adopted. We heard that we are accepted. We heard that we are loved. It says that you are a child of God. And Jesus here in John 14 is telling us and telling his disciples, "I'm about to die and I'm going to leave you everything." I read a quote this week, Tim Keller. He said this. He said, "Jesus is going to leave them peace in his will. If you are a child of God, there is an inheritance, and it's peace and love and joy and mercy. Jesus is God incarnate in flesh. If you are an adopted child of God and a believer, your inheritance is that. You do realize you don't have to work for an inheritance, right? You get it because you are a child of that person. You don't have to work for the peace. You don't have to work for the love and the hope. It is there for you. True hope, people, true love and joy and peace are given to us when Jesus died on the cross in our place for our sin. You inherit that. You inherit the good things from him. And so today is not a message about going to find peace. If you're a Christian, it's already with you. It's already in you. It's already been given to you. And I know for many of us, me included, we forget this all the time. Which is why it says right in there, I will send a helper to do what? Help you remember things. What you are remembering right now, if you're a Christian, what you are remembering in your mind and what is coming out of my mouth is the work of God the Holy Spirit. The fact that we read this text is God the Holy Spirit helping me and you remember what Christmas is all about. If you've been in church for a period of time, we're not talking about anything new. Maybe for some of you today, this is really new information. And for a lot of us, it's just information that we have forgotten. God the Holy Spirit wants to work in and through people to drive things like peace deep down into your soul. And that is the true peace that we're really looking for at Christmas. True peace comes from knowing God's word and is driven deep into who we are. The truth of God's word. Let me read you one other thing. Let's go to Luke chapter 2. A very famous text we tend to use at Christmas. I'm going to read verses 10 to 14. It'll be on the screen as well. And the angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord, and this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased." People, God's glory is our peace. This peace is to be spread everywhere that the child is received. Everywhere that Christ is received, we are to spread the peace wherever we go. The peace of what Christ has done in and through us and what he's done for us. I read a quote this week, I don't remember who said it, but it was, "Glory ever ascending from man to God, peace ever descending from God to man." As we worship, as we sing, that is us giving glory to God, and because of that, God will descend his peace upon his church and his people. People, God's offer of peace goes out to everyone today. But the scripture says that only those who have accepted Christ will understand that true, deep meaning of what that is. Only his people will understand the true meaning of peace, of what God offers, which means maybe for some of you today, that's the step you need to take. You're like, "Pastor, you're describing a peace that I know nothing about. You're describing a peace that I do need in the bottom of my heart and my life. I maybe didn't know it till today. I maybe didn't understand." You have tried everything. You've spent a lot of money. You've entered a lot of relationships. You've done all of these things searching for peace and for love and for hope. My question to you is, have you even tried Jesus? Have you looked into the teachings of Scripture? Have you looked at the real reason why we come and celebrate Christmas? I would encourage you to search that out. I would encourage you to ask questions. Let us help you. Let us serve you. There's a lot of people in this church who would love to help you and to serve you and care for you and answer your questions. I don't want us to be afraid as a church to answer tough questions. We need to be better prepared as churches for tough questions. If you remember what I said earlier, I told you that true peace is right in front of you. And I said, what if true peace was right in front of us and we missed it? Maybe true peace is right in front of us and maybe it was so obvious we didn't see it. What if true peace is right in front of us and we just need someone to point it out? So what if I told you true peace has been right in front of you this whole time since the moment you walked in here? It's right down there. It's the manger. This little thing we set up sometimes in our homes. True peace has been in front of you this whole time. God the Father coming in the form of a baby who would die on the cross for our sin to bring true peace to our heart and to our life. Glory to God in the highest on earth, peace among those with whom he is pleased. People, as we prepare for Christmas Eve, let this scene serve as a reminder of Advent. That this little thing we set up on a table is to remind us of true hope. It is to remind us of true love, to remind us of true joy, and to remind us of true peace. That this baby would grow into a man who would die for your sin and my sin. Why? So we could be set free. You do realize once we're set free, then we can begin to experience hope and love and joy and a peace in a way that we never even imagined before. And so let's pray together as we prepare our hearts for Christmas Eve. Heavenly Father, Lord Jesus, I pray that we would experience the kind of peace that we read about in Scripture. That we would experience the peace that you give. I pray that we would remember that today, that we would not just have something in our mind of what it is, but that we would experience true peace deep down in our heart. And Lord Jesus, we know that you had true peace even as you went to the cross. Circumstances were out of control. Things were about to get crazy. And our lives are no different. But our peace cannot be marked by just circumstances. And so I pray that we would sense a peace deep down within our heart and our soul, no matter what's going to go on the next few days and the traveling and the running around and the shopping. Lord Jesus, I pray that you would give to your people a true sense of peace. That we would experience the Advent in a new way this year. And so, Lord Jesus, I thank you that we find this in you. Let not our hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid. We pray all these things in Jesus' great name. Amen.